Thanks for listening to the Refuel Podcast. Be sure to tune in every Thursday for a new episode.
We started this series last week. Actually, Jordan kicked us off. Didn't Jordan do an awesome job like last week? Yeah. Jordan kicked us off, and the series is called Did God Really Say? And last week, we talked about sin, four S's in front of it, putting four S's in front of all our S words over the next 3 weeks. We talked about sin. Tonight, we're going to talk about speech, the words that you say. And next week, we're going to talk about sex. And I don't know why you gasped. It's in the Bible. So we're not going to make it weird. We're not going to make it inappropriate. Not going to make it awkward. But we are going to talk about it, because why do we not get to talk about it at church when everybody else talks about it? So anyway, tonight we're talking about speech. Have you ever said something and immediately you regretted it? Maybe I'll ask you another question. You know how like things get loud, like when you're around a lot of people, and then all of a sudden things get really soft? And have you ever said something when things get really soft and everybody looks? Well, back in the day, I had a friend named Lance. If you ever have a friend named Lance, you just know you're in for trouble, all right? And we thought we could get into DJing. I mean, you know, there's one point me and Khaled were on the same level, and he just kind of eclipsed me. I wanted to get into DJing, so there were some guys that we kind of latched onto who were DJs, and we started helping them so that we could learn how to DJ weddings and stuff. And they were like kind of country guys from Kentucky. Country DJ guys from Kentucky doing weddings. So the one guy, I'd met them before my friend Lance did, and he had some issues with his eyesight. Something had happened to him. He'd gotten to some chemicals or something, and he lost all his, like, he was blind, like 80% blind in one eye, and in the other eye, they had to take it out, and he had a glass eye. He was looking at the little computer that had all the songs on it, and he didn't look at it like you and I would maybe look at a computer. He looked at it kind of like this, you know. So my friend Lance, and this is in the middle of a wedding reception, so everybody's, you know, loud music, all this stuff. So my friend Lance is like, is he high? Is he on some? And I was trying to explain to him, no, and he's just, you know, I was trying to explain, he's 80% blind in one eye, and in the other eye, he's got a glass eye. Well, the music was so loud that I was having to, like, shout this in his ear. And I said, he's 80% blind in one eye, and in the other eye, he's got a glass eye. My friend Lance goes, he's got a what? And I yell at the top of my lungs, he's got a glass eye! Well, at the moment I start saying it, somebody accidentally walked past the power cord where all the DJ equipment was plugged in. So it goes dead silent, and I scream, he's got a glass eye! So I just ran to the bathroom, didn't come out for 30 minutes. So, and we all pretended like it didn't happen. One of the hard things about words is once they're said, they can't be unsaid. And tonight we're going to talk about what words Christians should and shouldn't use, and how Christians should use their words. Because that's one of those things that I think people try to, you know, the devil tries to make us think that our words really don't matter. That our words, it really doesn't matter what we say or how we say things or the words we choose to use. Is it really such a big deal? Well, I think tonight, if we all boiled it down to one thing, it would be this. Words are powerful. So that's like the big, you know what I forgot? Oh, shoot. I had handouts for this tonight, like fill in the blanks. Do y'all want them or nah? April's on it. Okay, she's going to be passing them out as we're going through. If you have your Bible, open up to a book that we spent a lot of time in the fall, Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. Some of y'all were here during the fall when we did this, when we did our In Christ series. We spent 10 weeks in the book of Ephesians. But tonight we're going to zero in on two verses that we really didn't get to zero in on during our series. We're going to zero in on verses number 29 and number 30. How many of y'all were here for our In Christ series? All right, I'm gonna test you. Y'all never get tested at school, so I'm gonna test you. That was a bad joke. Who wrote the book of Ephesians? Okay. Who was the book of Ephesians written to? The church of Ephesus. There's one other little tidbit. Christian got it. It was written to us too. This was one that was a circular letter, meaning it went from church to church to church to church. It was inspired by the Holy Spirit. So it wasn't just Paul writing, it was God writing. All right, do we know anything about the people who received this letter in Ephesus?
Surrounded by the debauchery temples.
Say that again.
Surrounded by debauchery temples.
I like the way Gabe phrased this. He said they were surrounded by debaucherous temples. That's one way to describe it. There was a big temple where they worshiped this fake god named Artemis. And it was the fake god, little g god of fertility, where they would do incredibly perverted things in that temple. So these Christians are in this culture where everybody's doing the wrong thing. And Paul reminds them, hey, you've been saved. You're different than everyone else. You're in Christ, so you need to live like you're in Christ while you're in the city of Ephesus. So what we need to be doing is we need to live like we're in Christ in Huntington or in Barbersville or Salt Rock. Any Salt Rockers? Yeah, you're in Salt Rock, right? Wherever you are, at Midland, at Huntington, at Covenant, at Grace, in your living room if you're homeschooled. So part of living in Christ means that we use the words that Jesus would use. And there's two little verses that we're going to zero in on tonight. So we're going to read these verses, and then we're going to talk about how we talk. So I like what Jordan did last week. We're going to stand for the reading of God's words. So everybody stand up. If you have your Bible, open it and read along with me quietly. But I'm going to read it out loud. Actually, if you have an ESV, read it. If not, look on the screens. We're going to read it together. I think we can read all this, these two verses together. Think we can do it? Let's try. Here we go. Let's start in verse 29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Stay standing. Let's pray, and then we'll sit down and dig in. God, I pray that tonight you will work in our hearts and that we will take this reminder of the importance of words seriously. God, you tell us that our words reveal something about us. So God, I pray that tonight we'll consider not just what's coming out of our mouths, but what's going on inside our hearts tonight, and that your Holy Spirit will change us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, y'all can have a seat. Y'all can have a seat. So words are powerful. And in this section of the Bible, we learn five ways that words are powerful. We learn five ways that words are powerful. And if you're filling in the blanks, we're just going to go like one at a time. And they're all D words. Next week, I have F words for sex. What do you think? But tonight, they're D words. And the first thing we learn about our words is that our words have the power to direct. Our words can direct people's conversations and focuses and minds and even hearts to different things. So as we dig in here, I want to show you the first thing. It says, let no corrupting talk come out of your rear mouth. What does that mean? Corrupting talk. Well, this word, when it was originally written, it was the word sepros. It's used other times in the Bible to refer to two things. To refer to dead fish and to refer to rotting fruit. So rotting fruit. Have you ever bit into a fruit and found out it was rotten after you bit into it?
I've sort of done it myself.
Have you ever taken a bite of a banana and then realized it was pretty much liquid? Isn't that like the worst? Have you ever smelled something that was rotten? Have you ever driven down the road and there was a dead animal and it was just like disgusting? That's what this word means. Let me write some definitions. It means rot, decay. How about this word? It means rancid. Well, festering wasn't the definition. It probably worked, though. And I like this one. Putrid. You ever met someone who smells putrid? Yeah. Smells like there's some rot going on? What it's talking about is just words that are disgusting. Words that are unwholesome. And there's also the sense in here that it's something that spreads. Your parents may have used this analogy, telling you to pick the right friends. And they talk about apples. Have you ever heard this one? That if you put a good apple in a bowl with bad apples, that the rot spreads from the bad apple to the good apple. And like, make sure you pick your friends that are good, that won't spoil you. You know, that type of thing. Well, it's actually good advice. But second, what it has to do is that our words have the same effect on people. Our words have the same effect on people. Let me give you an example. I'm going to say a phrase and tell me what comes to your mind. You ready? Chicken minis. Chick-fil-A, but you can almost taste the buttery goodness, right? You bite into the, you're thinking about biting in that buttery goodness of the little roll or whatever it is, and then into that crisp yet still tender chicken nugget thing that's in the middle of it. And you're thinking how it was their pleasure to serve you, wasn't it, Hudson? Where's Hudson? It was their pleasure. It's your pleasure to make those, right? Okay. So when I said chicken mini, automatically everybody thought of heaven. Everybody thought of holiness and greatness and good things, right? So. Let me say something else. Rotting fish. What are you thinking? Words have the power to direct. So, if somebody did something with someone on Friday night, you didn't do it, but you go around school talking about it and entertaining the conversation, where are your words directing people's minds? Are you following what Jesus is saying here through the Apostle Paul? So what does the Bible say about corrupting talk? This was used two other times. It's used first in Colossians 3:8. You can turn there if you want. You don't have to. It says, you must put away all anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk. And then look one chapter over in Ephesians chapter 5, and it gives you an example of what obscene talk is. It says in chapter 5, verse 4, let there be no filthiness, that is the word for vulgar talk, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, meaning for someone who believes in Jesus, but instead let there be thanksgiving. Where are you leading people with your words? The first one actually hits harder than I think all the others. Where are you leading people with your words? You know, what's sad is that I've heard believers, people who have trusted in Jesus, and you know, there was a time in my life where I used words I shouldn't have to. You're leading the minds of believers and people who don't even trust in Jesus to the very thing that Jesus died to save them from. So some people are like, it's not a big deal. I'm talking about what they did on Friday night. I didn't do it on Friday night, but you're leading everyone's mind to picture what they did on Friday night. Our words have the power to direct. Are you still not sold? Well, I got receipts. And they're on the back of your sheet too. All these verses about speech and the importance of speech. I'm not going to read them all, but I'm going to select a few. Psalm 41:3 says, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Proverbs 13:3, whoever guards his mouth preserves his life. He who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. Proverbs 18:13, if one gives an answer before he hears, is folly and shame. So even talking before you know everything. I like this one, or I don't like it, but it's convicting. James 1:26. You think you're religious? Well, it says, if anyone thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. So yeah, you come to Refuel. Yeah, you've got a shirt that on the back of it, it's got the Abide stuff on it. What about what you're saying? That's a true test of your religion. So do you have a problem with bad language, with the way that you talk? It affects more than just you. It affects you too. We'll see that here in a minute. But it affects more than just you. Aren't things just terrible? Like, do you hear the conversations going on around you? And they're just, I'm not talking about maybe necessarily here tonight, hopefully. But like, when you're walking the halls of your school, when you're playing soccer, when you're doing the things that you do, do the conversations bother you sometimes? We should be different. We should be different. Words also have the power to destroy. If you look here in the verses that we're reading, it says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up. We're going to talk about the building up part here in a minute. But if some words can build up, what does that mean other words can do? You got it. You know. How do you know that? Because it's happened to you, hasn't it? You know, I've talked to many teenagers. I don't sound like an old man here, but I've been a youth pastor here for like 13 years, something like that. Long time. Well, some of y'all weren't even birthed when I started. One of the sad things that I've heard is that there are many teenagers, and probably many of you, who you live in a home. You live in a home where family members use words that tear you down. So you know exactly what this means. I don't have to go any further, do I, for some of you? For some of you, words that have been said about you at school, or by people you thought were your friends, have made you feel about this big and not want to even look at anybody in the face. Words have the power to destroy, and some of you have felt it. You also know this because some of you, probably all of you, all of us, including me, have done it. You know, some of my biggest regrets in my life have been the things that I've said about other people. If words can build up, words can tear down. A lot of times it happens when we're angry and we said things we don't mean. Have you ever said something you don't mean? And as soon as you said it, you realized how terrible it sounded? But you can't get it back. So Kennedy, it's your time. Come on up. Did I scare you? Did I surprise you? All right. So just stand right here. And I have a nice tube of toothpaste. You don't have to get into this. This is actually one of the most satisfying things you'll ever do. All you have to do is when I tell you, just give it a good squeeze on the plate. All right?
How much?
Just as much as you want. So sometimes when you're angry, things come out that really shouldn't have come out. Go ahead and squeeze it on the plate. There are other things that shouldn't come out too, but that's a whole other discussion. Sometimes when you're hurt, you say hurtful things to others. Sometimes when you're insecure, you keep on squeezing it. You say things about other people so that they'll focus on other people's flaws and other people's problems instead of yours. Did you get it all out there?
Not really.
That's a lot. All right. So this represents this nice little like gooey, you know, this represents all of the things that you have said that are damaging to other people. Now what I want you to do, it's all come out. Kennedy, I want you to put that toothpaste back in the tube. These are the words. When they come out, you can't get them back. You can't put them back in your mouth. And some of my greatest regrets, and I bet a lot of leaders here tonight would say the same thing, some of my greatest regrets are the things that I've said about others or to others that were hurtful because I can't get them back. Are you following me here? That words have the power to destroy. The next thing, this is the positive one. You ready for a positive one? It's that words have the power to delight. Isn't that just a happy looking baby? That's just a happy looking baby. Have you ever seen a baby just like squeal with delight? It's like it's like the only time babies look cute. The rest of the time they just look ugly.
But look at our passage here. It says, but only such is good for building up. This is a compound word in the Greek. It's like spelled like this. It has to do with the roof of a house. And building a house all the way up to the roof, a complete house. And what it means is that our words have the power to build others up. It says, such as is good for the occasion. So compare corrupting talk with good talk. This word is only used one other time, and it's at the beginning of chapter 4, where it talks about how when we work together and we serve each other, we build up the body of Christ. And here it's talking about how we build up each individual person. Our words can give spiritual support. That's why it says so that our words can give grace to those who hear. Can you think of examples in your life of people who said something to you and it lifted you up? It lifted you up. Sometimes it's little things. There have been times in my life people have said things that were such a blessing to me that, like, I was really low, and they just said, like, sometimes it was even the fact that they remembered my name or the fact that they asked how my week was. And nobody else did that, and they lifted me up. Did you know that even as a teenager, you have the power to lift people up? We haven't got to talk about parents yet this year, and you're not responsible for your parents' attitudes, actions, behaviors, you know, relationship with God. That's between them and God. But you know what I've seen before? I've seen teenagers who have used words, and they've elevated the joy in their house. Your words have the power to direct. You know, that's one of the reasons we have Refuel on Wednesdays. Not just so that I can get up here and dance like a chicken with my head cut off for a few minutes. It's so that we can have tag where, and I hear it, I hear y'all high school girls like pumping each other up. I guess that's what you're doing in there. It sounds like a big, like, loud chicken coop. But like, I mean, not a chicken coop, but it just sounds like there's a hustle and a bustle and there's an excitement. Yeah, and in our guys tag, I mean, anytime anybody does anything that's awesome, I mean, it's like standing ovation. It's like, you know, pumping each other up. Our words have the power to build each other up. Our words have the power to delight. Have you delighted others through your words? Have you helped others? Is there someone tonight that you've been able to encourage? Is there anybody here that needs to be encouraged? You don't have to raise your hand, but you know that's you. And maybe God is calling you to be the encourager to someone else. All right, the next one. This one's not as positive. Our words have the power to doom. Your words reveal something deeper than the drama. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12 something very convicting about the words that we use. And here's what he said. I'm going to read it to you. It's on the screen, Matthew chapter 12. He said, good trees have good fruits and bad trees have bad fruits. There's the whole fruit thing and the corrupted thing, the rotting fruit. He's talking to some religious people who were tearing other people down with their words. And here's what he calls them. He says, you brood of vipers, dang. How can you speak good when you're evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day, you want to listen to this one, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak, and by your words, you will be justified, and by your words, you will be condemned. You know, sometimes we get this idea that when we get to heaven, we're going to be judged by what we do. And that's part of it. But it's just not a matter of doing holy things. It's a matter of what you say. So some of y'all are really good at fooling old people into thinking that you're just all that in a bag of potato chips. But we're going to be judged by our words. We're going to be judged by what we say. You're going to be judged by what you say when you're doing your stretches before a game. You're going to be judged by what you say at PE class. You're going to be judged by the way that you respond to your parents when they tick you off. Our words condemn us. What does Jesus say? He says our words are a reflection of what's in here. So that means that we all have a problem. Our sin problem is deeper than our actions. It goes to our words, which reflect what's going on in our hearts. Our words have the power to doom. But this is not the last point. This is the last point. Our words have the power to declare. Actually, I want to go back to this last point. One more thing. I want to doom those of you who are also believers in Jesus too. I don't want to do. God's word does. We didn't get to look at this second verse. And I forgot. It says, and don't. Yeah, here's an and. This is a connection. This is a connection point back to here. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit by whom you're sealed to the day of redemption. When we use words that are not God-honoring, when we use our words to tear people down, you know what we're doing? We're grieving God's Holy Spirit. That means we're putting a wall of separation between us and our fellowship with God. You can't say anything and you can't do anything to unsave yourself because you never saved yourself, right? You're saved by trusting in Jesus. But things that you do can affect your daily walk with Jesus. And one of those things that affects your daily walk, you like daily walk with Jesus, are the words that you say and the words you say about other people. So this isn't just for people who are still on the fence about Christianity and trusting in Jesus. This is also for those of you who are Christians and who are being absolute turds with your words. Yeah, that rhymed. That's putting a separation between you and the fellowship that God wants to have with you, the walk that God wants to have with you. So now, our words have the power to declare. I love this verse. It's one of the most simple understandings of what it means to know that you have eternal life, and it's in Romans chapter 10. Jason apparently is very excited about this verse. Here's what it says. It says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. What we're getting at here is the fact that by the time you've confessed that Jesus is Lord, by the time you say, yeah, that's me, you've already trusted in Jesus as your Savior. The good news is that Jesus died in our place for everything we've ever done and every word we've ever said. Our words doom us, but Jesus died on the cross for us to deliver us from the penalty of sin. And Jesus offers anyone this eternal life, anyone who believes in him. Tonight, you have the power, you have the opportunity to declare your eternal life in Jesus by trusting in him. And you're going to have the opportunity here in a minute to do that. And maybe you've come to this realization that I need to trust Jesus as my Savior. I want to give you the opportunity to do that. Our words have the power to declare that we're believers in Jesus. So words are powerful. That's what it comes down to. Words are powerful. So what I want to do, we have like a few minutes left, and we're going to get out on time. Jordan motivated me last week to get out on time. We're going to get out on time. But I do have a few words for you to kind of get started. If we're going to make it stick, if we're going to make this real in our lives, there are a few words, there are words that I'd like to share with you just to kind of help you get started if your words need an overhaul. And the first is to reset your words. Reset your words through forgiveness. Have you hurt God with the words that you've said? Are you a representative of Jesus and you've drug his name through the mud by the things that you've said? Tonight, you get to take God up on one of his greatest promises, is that if you confess your sins and you ask for forgiveness, he will forgive. So if you haven't been using the words that honor God, get real with God. Say, God, I screwed up. Please forgive me and give me the strength to use words that honor you. Maybe you've hurt some people with your words. Maybe you've said some things They've gone out of the toothpaste tube and you can't get them back in. What do you do? What do you do if the words can't go back in the tube? You go to the person you hurt and you say, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? Yeah, I believe Christians have totally lost sight of that. Christians have totally lost, they've lost the Bible understanding of what it means to make things right with someone. Have you hurt someone with your words and you need to make it right with them? That's where you get the reset. And here's the final way to reset with your words, and you may not like this very much, but it's the only way to live. Grant forgiveness to the one who hurt you with their words. It's been said that unforgiveness is like drinking poison and hoping the other person dies. And one of the hardest things that I've ever had to do in my life was knowing that people have said terrible things about me, or hearing in my head replaying the things that others have said about me and saying, you know what? I'm not going to let that keep me in prison. I'm going to let them go. I'm going to give them to God and let God handle them. So reset your words. This whole word thing, reset it through forgiveness. The next one is restore those who feel torn down. There is somebody here tonight who needs a word of encouragement from you. Just dream with me here, all right? Not one of those weird dreams where you're in your underwear. Like a good dream. Dream with me. What would Refuel be like in the next 5 minutes if when we said, amen, everybody before they walked through that door found one person to encourage? I think revival would break out. Will you do that before you leave? Will you find one person to encourage with your words? It could be like a simple one-word thing. Or it could be a long, blubbery, snotty, crying talk. Will you find one person to encourage with your words? Restore those who are down. There are people here tonight who are fallen, who have been torn down by the words of others, and they need somebody to come with good words, with graceful words, and to restore them. And then there's one more. Receive the free gift of eternal life by trusting in Jesus. I haven't got to meet each of you and know each of you by name yet. I don't know where you stand spiritually, but has there been a time in your life where you have trusted in Jesus as your Savior? Can you honestly say that you know for sure that your sins are forgiven and that you have a home in heaven? Why not tonight? If this makes sense, the fact that Jesus died in your place, what's stopping you from trusting him? So let's pray. If you'll bow your head and close your eyes. I wanted to get out on time because I wanted to give us some time to spend with God tonight. So I've got two questions for you tonight. If you'll keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed. First question I'd like to ask is, do you know that your sins are forgiven? Do you know that you have a relationship with God through Jesus? Do you know that you're going to heaven one day? With every head bowed and eye closed, I'd love to give you the opportunity right now to put your faith in Jesus. Would you right now recognize that you're a sinner in need of a Savior? Will you put your trust in Jesus right now? You can say a simple silent prayer to vocalize quietly in your heart, not out loud, your trust in God. And if this is something you're ready to do tonight, I want to ask you that as I'm praying this, if you mean it, if you'll repeat this in your heart after me. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. I know I can't save myself by my own efforts, but I believe Jesus died in my place for my sin. I trust in him alone to forgive my sins and give me eternal life. I receive the free gift of eternal life by faith right now. Thank you for saving me. If you'll keep your head bowed and eyes closed, if you trusted in Jesus based on his death on the cross, in your place, you're saved, not because you said a prayer. but because you trusted in Jesus. The second question I have is there someone you need to forgive tonight? Or is there someone you need to ask for forgiveness tonight? Here in this moment, before we say amen and before we go our separate ways, I want to give you the opportunity to commit to God that you're going to make things right and you're going to get past this word stuff so that you can move on with the life that Jesus has for you. Will you give that person to God? Will you give that situation to God right now? Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for the fact that you have forgiven us. Now, we're all guilty of using words that don't honor you. We're all guilty of using our words to tear others down. And the things that we've said reveal a problem inside our hearts. We are so thankful that we stand before you forgiven because you died in our place. God, I pray that we'll be wise with our words. And I pray in those moments where we fail, God, that we will run to you for forgiveness and that we'll make things right with others. God, I pray that there were people tonight that trusted in you, that put their faith in you, and that became children of God, brothers and sisters in Christ with me and so many others tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to the Refuel Podcast. If you have any questions or would like to review the notes from this podcast, be sure to download the Refuel app from the App Store on any mobile device.